This is the On Humans podcast with your host, Ilari Mäkelä. As you have probably noticed, the show is on a break, and instead of new guests, you're getting some highlights from the archives. Here is a highlight from the episode 6 with Kristen Hawkes. As a quick background, Hawkes is an evolutionary anthropologist famous for her work on the so-called grandmother hypothesis, which tries to explain the biological puzzle of why is it so normal for human females to live beyond menopause, something which is really rare in the animal kingdom and really found only in humans and some species of whales. Now, her answer is intriguing, and there is a whole episode dedicated to it. You can check it out, episode 6. But towards the end of that conversation, Hawkes also mentions a very interesting point about human capacity to work in teams. I remember Michael Tomasello, the great psychologist, once mentioning that you never see two chimpanzees carrying a log together, which I think really is a fundamental point, that something so common for humans as just doing something, carrying a thing together, which I've just been doing a lot, moving flats during this week, is actually really rare within our close relatives. And Hawkes makes an interesting point about how this happened and how it might have linked to ancient climate changes. So here is Kristen Hawkes on how humans became a team working species.
So the story I am telling is about the climate change that opened these savannas and restricted the forests. Now, as long as you stayed in the forest, you could continue to be a chimpanzee or a gorilla, or if you were in Asia, a orangutan, as long as the resources that you were exploiting were the ones that the little ones you were still nursing, they could feed themselves on. And maybe you could even be on the fringes and still duck back into the forest. And lots of reasons to, as long as that's working, to keep doing that. But we know these climate swings meant the spreading savanna didn't make the forest opportunity go away, but it opened an opportunity that could be exploited. You know, one of the things that we're learning about chimpanzees across the African continent, there are chimpanzee populations. And the more we know about them, the more variable they are in all these interesting ways. But if I just stick to the eastern ones for a minute and say females compete with each other because, again, these soft fruits and leaves and so on, if there's another female trying to use those, then you don't get as much. And so females tend to have ranges that they stick to and keep the others off. If you are exploiting these resources like the tubers I'm talking about, that competition thing goes away entirely. You actually do better to have somebody digging right next to you because it helps open the area where you start to uncover the tubers. And so the competition side is gone. You actually have this mutualistic benefit from foraging with other females. I mean, you start to dig and you don't get much, and then you start to open that tuber, and then you and so what's happening is you are getting a higher return rate up to a point until you dug a few, and then you have this pile of things. And this is the opportunity then for all those other around to be in on it too. And the appropriators, those little ones who cannot feed themselves, whoa, here's a chance. But the older females who are still doing it, they're not adding more stomachs, not adding more grabbing hands, but they are adding more stuff to be grabbed. And that sets up selection to favor all the things that we've been talking about.
Fascinating. So I've heard this argument about the move from the forest to savanna being the origin of everything that's different between us and chimpanzees and bonobos. But this is a new story that I haven't heard before. So what you're saying is that the kind of foraging in the forest leads into female competition between females, female to female competition of this is my patch of stuff that I'm foraging. But on the savanna, it leads into a more teamwork style. Let's dig this root up together. And can you just before we end draw the link? What is the link between this mutualistic team play on the one hand, and then the grandmothers coming in and subsidizing the kids on the other hand?
Directly. That if what's going on is, I actually do better to do this next to some other females, so we're all doing this together. We have our kids with us, and the ways in which we're doing this exploitation, we do it in batches because we get higher returns by doing it in batches. And now I'm ignoring the cooking side, which is especially interesting, and I'd be happy to talk about that. But let's just say, because that just amplifies this point, that if you are cooking, then even more do we do better to be using the same cooking fire and so on. But the consequence of doing that then is that we are, in a sense, we're creating a resource that is an opportunity for appropriators to come in, and it is the cost of refusing that is higher than the benefit of allowing that, which is what I would say about what goes on with the sharing of big animals. And that the same thing is happening with this kind of resource, which is there daily as a thing. And the consequence is that those who are adding to the piles increase what's there. It's being reduced by all the consumers. But if the females who are now nearing the end of their fertility, they're the ones who ended up producing more descendants. And that meant in subsequent generations, longevity was increasing, and this cascade of effects, you know, the array of things that we started with.